on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A brief reprieve for automakers. President Trump says he'll exempt them from the tariffs on Mexico and Canada for 1 month. Reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
This gives car makers a little bit of breathing room, but does not remove uncertainty. Tariffs have the potential to add significantly to car makers' costs.
Lawmakers called mayors of sanctuary cities to Capitol Hill today to answer questions. Boston's Michelle Wu joined others in insisting threats prevent immigrants from coming forward to report crimes.
We're a city that opens our arms and offers a hand when this administration is more interested in turning its back. I will never back down from an opportunity to defend Boston.
A student at a Florida high school has become the state's first this year to come down with measles.
Pretty scary. Turns out you can die from that. So, like, scary world we live in.
Parents there have been sent an email advising them vaccinations are available. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A 25-year-old lifetime registered sex offender will take up residence in Marshfield later this month. Clay D. Preston was convicted of third-degree sexual assault, causing mental harm to a child in Wood County in 2021. Preston will have lifetime GPS monitoring and be required to comply with registered sex offender laws. Please understand that state law forbids the harassment of released sex offenders. After serving their sentence, they must be incorporated back into the community. Notification is to help keep community members safe and informed. The federal deadline for updating identification to real ID is approaching. Here's Jimmy Cuska.
Over one-third of Wisconsin driver's licenses have still not been updated to real ID, with the deadline under 2 months away. A real ID is required to fly domestically or to enter federal buildings as of May 6th, although people can still use another form of ID, such as a passport, to fly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says about 37% of driver's licenses in the state have not yet been updated. A full list of documents needed for the update and more information is available on the Wisconsin DMV website.
Bird flu testing is coming to cattle herds in Wisconsin. Stuart J. Wattles has more.
Cows will soon start to get tested for bird flu. Wisconsin is set to begin testing its dairy cows for bird flu as part of the USDA's National Milk Testing Strategy. The state joins a nationwide surveillance effort that already includes 45 states.
Weight restrictions on roads starts today in Adams County. This includes all Class B highways, which are county trunk highways. Signs are posted and will remain in effect until signs are taken down. Seasonal weight restrictions on roads in Portage County will go into effect at 7 a.m. on Friday, March 7th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds lingering flurries and breezy this evening, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight. A low in the upper teens. For tomorrow, sunshine returns. High temperatures in the upper 30s. On Friday, mostly sunny and mid-30s. It's 25 right now.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we're welcoming today to the studio our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you, as always.
You brought a guest with you.
I call him a victim.
It's another word for it. That's another word. We could have used that.
Doug's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. We were just talking. I think the last time he was on the show is when the radio station was at the other building. So I don't know. How long has it been since you guys have been here?
Boy, it's been about 3 years or so. I didn't realize it had been that long, Doug.
Yeah,
I thought it had been a while. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
He's reminiscing that he's been dodging the bolt to come here, I guess, the past 3 years. But the reason why, one of the biggest reasons why he's with us today is he's retiring. His last day is going to be coming up this month on March 18th, and I thought this was a great opportunity to come in and make him do all the talking for the next hour, and I could just sit here and smile.
Looking forward to touching on that and some other things that you have for us as well, Sean. I do want to send a big shout out to all of our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the gang over there. Do yourself a favor. Type into your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the cool things they are doing over there. Sean, since we have Doug here, you want to start right there? You want to start with this?
You know, might as well. You know,
yeah, let's rip the Band-Aid off, Doug. Let's go ahead and dive right in.
Here we go.
Yeah, let it rip.
Doug, for you, I know that we're talking about the end of a career here and everything, and I appreciate your service very much. If you don't mind, I want to rewind for a second, though. What made you get into this line of work?
Boy, that's been a long, long time ago. My family is a trucking family. So I've gotten to hear a lot of stories about different officers through the years that they've had interactions with, some good, some bad, but really focused on the good interactions, and I wanted to be able to do that.
That's a great answer. Great answer. Yeah. When it comes to your early days in this, did you know right away this is the right line of work for me? Did you have doubts early in your career with it?
No, I knew right away.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. Almost anybody I talk to in whatever, you know, job they're doing or walk of life or something, it seems like, well, yeah, there was a day where, I don't know, it was really hard or something like that. I talk to police officers, firefighters, anybody like that. Nope, no doubt, none. It's just interesting. You know, I'm not saying anything one way or the other about, you know, these jobs or these types of people. I just, we use this phrase a lot, but there's a reason. There is a calling to it. And you heard that call right away.
Yes, I did.
How long have you been in service? Sean talked about this a little bit, but how long have you been doing this, and what kind of jobs have you done in the time that you've been serving our community?
So I'll be retiring just shy of 30 years. I started off with the Wisconsin State Patrol. That was my first full-time spot. I worked for about a year as a State Patrol inspector, so I was working right directly with the trucking industry. And then I moved into a trooper spot, and from there I came back to Wood County.
I know talking with Sean about this, and Sean has brought in some retired officers, and we've talked about this a little bit. This is one of those jobs where you retire, but you don't really leave completely. That badge doesn't necessarily completely be removed. When it comes to keeping connections with the community, with your fellow officers, your friends over there, you looking forward to doing that, or are you heading to Florida? Are you heading out?
Actually, I just got back from Florida.
Did you? That's all right. That's pretty good.
Came back.
No, I'll definitely keep those connections open and stay involved.
I appreciate that, the feedback on those last couple of questions, because one of the things we like to do with this show is certainly promote the things that Sean has to talk about here and highlight them, give some depth to them that maybe we're not able to otherwise. But we're always looking to make new officers out there. We're always looking to keep this industry very healthy, and that information could help somebody out there who may be on the fence or have not even thought about this as a career, and like, well, wait a minute, that lines up with what I like and that lines up with what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah. No, just to reminisce with him, Doug did, he forgot to mention, he started as a part-time deputy, reserve deputy for the Sheriff's Department. So, you know, that program, you know, goes back so many years and gives people that opportunity to, you know, get that first taste or experience into law enforcement. And I know when shortly after high school, he's a Lincoln grad.
Nice.
So, you know, a thing to highlight that I always like to do is when you have somebody that, you know, goes in, you know, goes to college, as Doug mentioned, he knew pretty quickly that this was the passion, the career that he wanted to be part of, got the experience with, you know, our reserve deputy program at the time, and then took a job with the State Patrol and worked there a few years. And then what's really admirable is that, okay, you know, with the State Patrol, you can get put almost anywhere in the state. You know, you kind of, and back then, and you can explain that, it's a little bit more competitive than it is now, where you can't really choose where you want to be. You get put somewhere, and I don't recall exactly where you were working when you were with the State Patrol, but you had the desire to come back. And he got hired in 1999, I remember, quite vividly, and we'll probably talk a little bit more in depth about that. But I had started in 97, and then we didn't hire anybody for a couple of years. And Doug was the first hire, because back then at the Sheriff's Department, we really didn't have much turnover at all. And really didn't, I think before myself and John Hiller were hired, it had been, I think, another 5 years that we had an opening, you know, previous to that. And I think that's when Scott Mahaka got hired. So, I mean, it was different back then, but what is really something to highlight is the, you know, back then you had to get experience, you know, somewhere in law enforcement full time to get to the departments that, you know, you really wanted to. And, you know, with Doug being, you know, growing up here in Wisconsin Rapids and having a desire to come back and raise a family, you know, and be part of the community, that's huge. You know, I really, you know, personally appreciate that and love to talk about it. You know, the people that want to come back to the community that they grew up in and want to serve that community.
What did that mean for you, Doug? Again, going back to the calling part of this, wherever you're able to serve, you're going to be giving it everything you've got and honoring the badge, I know. But when you're able to do that in your roots, in your own hometown and everything, what does that mean to you? What did that mean to you, or does that mean to you?
So getting into law enforcement, I knew right away that I wanted to work for the Sheriff's Department. My wife's father, my father-in-law, he worked for the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. So kind of following in his footsteps, it was quite an honor to get the phone call, you know, offering a position with the Sheriff's Department. As, you know, right from the beginning, that this is where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to patrol the areas that I knew, serving the community that I loved, you know, so.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hmm. What were some of your guys' early memories of those first days, those early days?
Well, and, you know, I think our career paths kind of mirrored each other. I think our goals when we were on patrol were, you know, getting into, I think a big one for us was getting on the special response team, you know, and again, going back to that time frame, there weren't many openings because the team was already established. And, you know, that was a goal. You saw the people that had the seniority, had the leadership positions, and, you know, were being mentored by them, but it's like you had to wait, you know, it's like you couldn't get on the team. And we both did around the same time, you know, into, I think you started as a sniper, sharpshooter, and I was on as a negotiator, and then moved into an entry position. Then you kind of had a dual position. And what, you know, the first, you know, highlight I'll bring up is, you know, we got sent to training over to Rice Lake for entry school, and so the training is basically other people from other SWAT teams from around the state. And it's just that basic entry level, you know, training that you have to have. I think it was called basic SWAT training. And it's a week-long school over in Rice Lake. We had a great time until, I don't know what day it was, but we were going through some scenario training, and Doug wound up losing a tooth. And I'll never forget, I think you were in front of me going through the stack, and they, you know, it was kind of like somebody holding a bag, and then they push you back, and you need to have, you know, some of your equipment out, and whatever happened. Part of the equipment, I think it was your gun, came back and hit you in the face, and then he turned to me and pointed, and I'm like, whoa, you're missing a tooth.
That's a new one.
So yeah, timeout, we had to go through that, and an instructor came over, and I think, you know, took you to a local dentist, and you came back pretty quickly, though. You weren't gone very long. I mean, he was able to
complete the training. I had to have the rest of that tooth removed.
Oh, did I was going to ask.
So then throughout the rest of this training, you know, working with a bunch of kind individuals, all of them with a sense of humor. Right. Every chance that Sean got, he had to make me smile. You know, and then people started showing up with white Chiclets.
Oh, yeah.
Here, see if this one will fit. And then they started showing up with quarters. Well, this is in case the tooth fairy can't find you because you're away from home.
It's so cheap. I mean, just a quarter.
Just a quarter, but that's great. That's
awesome. I don't know if we got many pictures of that. That was like before the cell phone, you know, time. I think everybody had flip phones. So I think you lucked out on that. I mean, to be honest, I think you did.
Yeah, actually, kind of dodged one right there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of – and then the other thing, too, that we did early on in our career together, we both had a – you know, an interest in a, and it turned into a little bit of a passion for traffic crash reconstruction. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with the background with your, you know, with the State Patrol, and then one of our, he's long since retired, Rick Kirst, you know, one of our training officers was our only department's traffic crash reconstructionist, and kind of pushed us, hey, this is, you know, something that, you know, you guys should be interested in. And little did we know the training that really brought to the table once we made that commitment to be a traffic crash reconstructionist. I think it was extremely eye-opening for both of us on the train that you have to go through, and it's not easy. Yeah. You know, I remember we both probably had different times that we'd struggle through different aspects of the training because it's so specialized. Yeah. You know, and we're really fortunate now to have a State Patrol having their traffic reconstruction unit, because they're always helping, not just our department, but everybody, and doing these types of investigations. But we did those together, and getting through the training and then getting deployed to, unfortunately, you know, traffic fatalities. You know, getting, you know, those phone calls anytime during the night or whenever. And the first one that we worked together was on County Highway F, where somebody had rear-ended somebody else, and basically pushed their vehicle off into the ditch area, into a field, and the person was ejected and died. And then the offending driver took off, you know, left the scene, probably was intoxicated. An off-duty officer, you know, came upon the crash and told him to stay, but he took off. So we got called out to that, and then we put the knowledge and training to work and put a lot of time in. Doug did he's a better drawer than I am. I kind of draw things in crayon. He's a little bit more precise and everything, but back then the computer programs were starting to evolve. So a lot of the information, our training was like longhand. You know, doing, you know, using calculators, figuring out the formulas that would fit this investigation. And what we found out is how precise the science is. You know, we worked his drawing, you know, it was a momentum kind of investigation or problem to work out. And, you know, lo and behold, we came up with the speed and the impact speed of what, you know, that crash was, and when that person was rear-ended, and how fast that vehicle was going. And I remember, you know, we're looking at each other like, wow, is this working out that this person's probably going 80 plus miles an hour at the impact or somewhere around there, and just working that problem and figuring out, okay, this is probably one of the main contributing factors that led to the death of somebody else. And then seeing that through, you know, into the district attorney's office was a pretty big experience for us. I took away from, you know, working together and really, you know, the head scratcher of like, wow, this stuff does make sense, you know, with what we've learned. And, you know, and you could talk a little bit about more about that, because there's a few crashes that we were called out to that, you know, they're hard to work, but you take the knowledge and the training, the investment that the sheriff's department made in you, and then you make that commitment. And, you know, we've gotten called out several times during our career to, you know, work together to figure out, you know, okay, what happened? And, you know, it's something that, again, that not only SRT working, you know, together with, but even, you know, doing traffic crash reconstruction and those investigations were something that that experience, even though the tragedy part of it, but, you know, we're doing our job for the right reason to make sure that somebody is held accountable, if they are. You know, it really depends on the crash, because there's been some that were head scratchers. Why, you know, I think the one in over by Vesper where Amish got rear-ended, and we put a lot of time in that, and it was a drunk driver hit an Amish trailer and killed at least one person, if I remember right. And then working through that, we're like, okay, this is, I wouldn't say a no-brainer because that's not fair, but, you know, like, okay, we have somebody that's intoxicated, rear-ending somebody. It just seems like we know the facts here. This person's probably going to get prosecuted. But then once we worked with the state patrol as they're evolving, we found, well, wait a minute, there's some other factors here that we have to consider. And that was the lighting on the trailer. All right, now we're at dusk and almost dark, and you have to look at what that other driver's seen. You know, and that was an experience for us that initially I don't think, you know, we agreed with, but then as we talked about it, it's like, okay, if that that shows that there's not just fault on, you know, you get tunnel vision, okay, we have a drunk driver. All right, this is, this makes sense that this person's going to be held accountable for it. And they were to some level, but, you know, you look at the cause of the crash, and then that's where that came up. But there's a few of those examples out there that, you know, that we had the opportunity to work together with, and then even evolve with the state patrol as well, and continue to learn.
It's a part of the job that I'm very interested in. I think that we could spend a whole hour on just this department and just talking about this work. Maybe we should sometime, because I find it interesting. I'll admit, it's a little triggering for me. I was in a lot of accidents as a kid, and just talking about this stuff, I'm a little, I don't have a lot of quarter for this when it comes to bad driving or people not paying attention to driving, let alone drunk driving and some of these other things. I have a lot of respect for the people that do this, for lack of a better way to put it, puzzle work that goes on with this, along with the emotional toll that this must take and everything. I do want to ask just a side question before we get into any other highlights or anything like else of Doug's career. Something, and I think Joe could touch on this too, when it comes to acting, one of the first things I'll tell people about acting, you want to be good at acting, work behind the scenes. You know, work behind the stage and understand a little bit of what it's like to be out back there and doing some things. Run sound, be a prop person, something like that. It'll make you that much better at it. Did you guys find where you are now in your careers, these early jobs, these early things really helped you form into what you are now? I'll start with you, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. I can recall working as a reserve deputy, actually doing a ride-along with Rick Kirst. And the early days of the crash recon program, and asking a lot of questions and just being amazed that he was able to take what appeared to be a small amount of information and put things back together to determine how fast people were going, where the vehicles were, what happened after the crash, to put the vehicles into whatever configuration that we find them when we get on the scene. Yes, asking a lot of questions and just being there and watching someone with the expertise do the job, it tends to form the pathways that you want to take.
Sean?
No, I'd agree. You know, I can't say enough positive things about Rick Kirst. When we both started our career here, being, you know, he's a training officer, extremely smart, a lot smarter than us, I think. We found that out. I was pretty upset with him initially when he talked me into doing the traffic reconstruction, and I got sent down to Northwestern University for a 2-week school And he told me that, you know, a lot of the trains set up in phases. You know, you start with, you know, the technical aspect of it, and then you go into more of the, you know, I wouldn't say the expertise, but more it comes down to like the math stuff, like the one that I'm talking about, vehicle dynamics. And I think that was a week-long school. And so I get sent down, and I remember being pretty upset with him pulling, you know, I felt like I was in college again, pulling all-nighters and trying to figure out this training. And I came back pretty mad at him, you know, and he told me, oh, you'll go through that, no problem. It'll be a breeze. And it wasn't for me, you know.
That was intense training.
Yeah, and I just said, you know, I could have gone to the other train to set you up for this. And, you know, but it just shows that, you know, how smart, you know, Rick is and how he got it. And then that, very similar to what Doug said, you know, working with him and then seeing him, you know, investigate these crashes like he did, you know, have an impact. I'm like, you know, I'd like to do that. You know, the unfortunate thing is what you're dealing with, the tragedies, but at least you're helping get, you know, an answer. And in the big picture, holding somebody accountable that could have prevented a crash.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Are there parts of this particular part of the job that people would be surprised by, or you know, not common knowledge as far as putting these scenes back together or trying to figure out what happened?
Probably the biggest thing that, you know, since we haven't been doing it for quite a while, you know, looking at, you know, the technology and how that has changed so fast. You know, for us, and this is kind of a fortunate thing, we didn't get called out a lot, you know, and that's a good thing if you look at it. But on the flip side of it, if you're not doing these investigations all the time, you got to really rely on, you know, the train that you got and reverting back to it. And then with technology changing, and that was happening when we were, you know, still doing this, it's a pretty big investment that a law enforcement agency has to commit to. And we're seeing that, you know, with, you know, we would map out scenes with, you know, roll tape measures. And
we literally started with two tape measures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'd have to get the long ones, 300-foot stuff and do it kind of the long way. Now, you know, the State Patrol and some law enforcement agencies that are pretty busy with this kind of these kind of investigations will make that investment with a total station where they're, you know, popping down, you know, basically a computer and a camera and then mapping the whole scene out. And it's quite an elaborate process that has gone through. So technology has changed a lot throughout, and the cars have become safer. You know, if you look at, you know, one of the last fatalities we had, and we'll talk about a little bit with Highway 10 and 186, you know, looking at the cars and, you know, seeing how a newer car that collided with an older car, both, you know, having airbags and everything, but then the newer car having side airbags and just the safety things that have changed with motor vehicles, which is to our benefit. We have to consider those.
We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back more with our Wood County Sheriff's Department. We've got Sean and Doug with us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, right here at WFHR.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that, man?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that, man?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that, man?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Protests took place this week, speaking out against cuts to the Department of Education. Derek Tritz has the story.
Passionate Central Wisconsinites took part in one of over 900 protests across the nation on Tuesday to advocate against the Trump administration's goal of gutting the Department of Education. Students, faculty, teachers, and parents marched down Clark Street, Stevens Point despite the gloomy weather, holding signs in support of teachers and funding public education. Leading the charge was co-president of the Stevens Point Area Representative Council, Elizabeth Felt.
Public education needs to be funded in order for it to work, and right now we're just barely surviving with the funding we have. To cut even more is catastrophic.
The Department of Education is responsible for about 8% of direct funding for elementary and secondary schools in the U.S., but has historically operated to help fill gaps where state and local funding hasn't been enough, according to their government webpage. This figure also does not include the billions of dollars given out in grants, work study, and loans for higher education. Currently, the Department of Education is here to stay without the congressional approval to dismantle it, and with a slim Republican majority, that isn't likely to happen. However, President Trump has not backed down from the idea of abolishing it.
With the recent snowfall, more snowplows have been out and about clearing roads. Remember that the only plows allowed to use flashing green warning lamps are county or municipal highway department maintenance vehicles. Private snowplow companies are only allowed to use flashing amber warning lamps. Also, no white light can project from the rear of a vehicle unless they are backing up. There's a job fair coming up in Wisconsin Rapids. On Tuesday, March 18th, the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center will be holding a job fair from 10 to 2. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds lingering flurries and breezy this evening, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight. A low in the upper teens. For tomorrow, sunshine returns. High temperatures in the upper 30s. On Friday, mostly sunny and mid-30s. It's 25 right now.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and we're in part two now with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us, along with Lieutenant Doug Christensen, and want to send a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I messed that up, didn't I, guys?
No, you got a promotion.
I gave you a promotion, didn't I? I knew I was going to do that.
We'll have to talk to HR on your A's.
There are a few more embarrassing things than getting a title wrong for somebody. I apologize, Doug.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Appreciate you being here, and really, especially reminiscing while also giving us a chance to show some appreciation for you in the career and the time and effort that you put into our community. We've really been enjoying this process and being able to do this. And Sean, you want to kind of continue down memory lane a little bit here with Doug and some other highlights from him.
When you have a career that hits about 30 years, there's a lot of memories. Doug likes to play a lot of jokes on people, and yeah, and don't worry, we'll get even at some point, whether you're working for us or not. There will be some level of...
There's no statute of limitations on that, what I understand legally.
Well, lately he's been leaving marbles all over everybody's office as a memory for him, just to don't lose your marbles, that kind of thing. So I was kidding with him this morning. I'm like, you might find those in your yard. So I would change the mower depth. I don't want you to break a window. You know, I'd feel bad for a little bit. Yes. You know, but he does, and it's nice to with what we do to bring some light to our profession. You know, because that's where I want to segue into because it's very important on how we got to the position Doug has right now, being a sergeant on the investigation division with that mental health focus, and we've talked about this before and how important that is. And that really evolved from Doug, on a couple different levels. One, in her department, not just, being, lighthearted with people and playing, reasonable jokes on people. It's, dealing with our own staff. And when you go up and you take a look at, all of our calls of service, and if you see something that might have been, maybe traumatic, or it might have bothered one of our staff members, and to step up and just to check on him. Mm-hmm. And that came on his own. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked him to do that. He decided to do that. And that's, and we've talked about our wellness and how that's built throughout the years, and Doug's been a huge part of that. And then, and again, we'll talk some more about that. But then the other thing, too, that evolved, that I don't think there's many other law enforcement agencies that evolved the way we did, and that's because of you, whether we want to complain about it or not. But it's a direction that it took our department that I really set us apart from a lot of people. And I think that we've been looked at now as, an agency that people look up to us on, okay, how you deal with mental health mm-hmm. in law enforcement, because, going back when we started our careers, there wasn't any training. Mm-hmm. It was so much different now, where it's a priority for wellness, and it's a priority for the community on how law enforcement fits when we're dealing with people that are having some struggles in their life. Whether it's something to do with a mental health issue or an illness or something. And it's always a great story that I love to brag about. Years ago when I was in a different position and Doug was on the road and some changes were made statutorily on how we dealt with really welfare checks. And we go to a welfare check where somebody's struggling, and I wouldn't say it was never easy, but the decision making was rather quick. If somebody was a harm to themselves or others, and there might have been a couple other factors that we'd have to deal with, they would either go to a mental health facility, a hospital, or they wouldn't. It was, either way, kind of, I wouldn't say black and white, but kind of. Mm-hmm. And then once the statutes changed where we weren't the people making those decisions, it came down to human services. And that was a quick adjustment, and in the position I had, I wasn't out seeing it. I was more of an administrator, and Doug was, and Doug struggled with it a lot, and he came and offered up his concerns, and I'm politely saying that.
I was often, pain in his side.
Often, and he didn't give up. You know, it wasn't something that in one ear to me and then out the other, but it continued. And then what evolved from that, quite honestly, is CIT, that training. You know, our crisis intervention team training with NAMI evolved with our department. He was the first one to go to CIT based upon the recommendation of Katie Siz. Hey, send him this. And she already had that background. She had the training. I'm like, okay. And then Doug went to the training and the light bulb went off. And then and here we are. You know, I don't know how many classes we've had, maybe you know, but we've trained hundreds of law enforcement officers here in Wood County, right? Not just the commitment our agency has, but other law enforcement agencies seeing it and putting on that 40-hour training is something that I'm very proud of it. Like I said, at two different levels, you know, one, the wellness level, taking care of our people, and here, now stretching out to the community, because this training is very important, because when we're out in the community, what we learn, we can apply that and help people through these situations that they're struggling in.
You know, you and I, and even Doug, I believe when you were with us before, Doug, have talked on mental health a lot in society, and especially with what you guys deal with. And it's something that when I was young, you learn gallows humor real quick in the inner city, in the projects. You learn these things very quickly because that's how you survive. Days are hard. You learn to laugh at the, you know, laugh to keep from crying, and the old phrase and stuff. And it's something that my mother and I did quite a bit. As a kid, I really fell in love with like crime shows, a crime story, going back to something like that. I've seen every single episode and every version of Law and Order there is. And not only is Jerry Orbach the best detective they ever had on that show, but he was the best at that one liner, that line right before they went to the news and or right before they went to the theme song and everything. And I used to have friends that would kind of say, well, that's just unrealistic. Nobody would ever do that or anything like that. And trying to get them to understand that, no, this is how officers survive oftentimes, is by being able to have this gallows humor, if you will, this darker humor sometimes, or just humor in general. And I'm not saying that it's a laugh riot, obviously, but there are moments where you find that, hey, here's a moment for funny. Let's take it, because we don't know when we're going to get the next one. There's a tendency naturally for human beings to kind of, well, what my life is like and my job is like. Unless you're doing this work, there is no comparison. There is no comp to this. There are parallels, maybe. There are things you might find in common, but there's nothing like putting that badge on. And only you guys understand that. So then going to the mental health part of this. You know, Doug, I would say this to you no matter what. I appreciate your service. I think you're one of the braver human beings I know in doing what you've done for 30 some years. This action right here, the things that Sean is touching on, is some of the bravest stuff you're going to hear today, anybody. I appreciate that we're in a part of our society now where, oh, the strong, silent type. And we're getting away from that. And we're understanding that the strongest, bravest people we know face these things, talk about these things. And even stronger than that, talk about it with others and help others. That's how we get by. That's how we survive, not only in your industry, but in life in general. I don't use this word lightly, trailblazer, like in this work. And it's appreciative, not just in this community, not just in the departments you guys work in and everything, but in society in general, man. It's important. It's great work. And I appreciate the insight to this, you guys, because, again, this is another one of those things I don't think as community members we get to see very often or understand very much.
Yeah, the foundation that Doug left, I mean, you look at, you know, people can go through a career and they can coast through and just get by. He didn't. And then you look at the impact, like I just said, that'll last forever. You know, I mean, the wellness part of it's only going to grow for us, because it's a very important thing for not just law enforcement officers, but all first responders that deal with the traumas that go on, unfortunately, every day. And we have to take care of each other. And if we don't, then how do we expect to take care of the communities that we serve? And that's where, you know, the officer wellness that outreaches not only just, you know, our agency, but, you know, part of our CISM team that he's part of that does that, that not only just, it's not exclusive to law enforcement, it's to all of us. Because, you know, essentially when, you know, we're dealing with emergencies, we're all working together, you know. And then you look at, you know, like I said, it's fun to brag about. You know, I think people sometimes get sick of me talking about it, but you look at the people that have an impact on the community. and Doug did. You know, I'm going to hate to see him go, but you know, we talked a little bit this morning about, hey, what's the next plan? Because you brought it up right away in the show about, okay, what do you do? How do you unplug? You know, because people do struggle, and I do worry about that for anybody that leaves this profession, especially our team. But he knows this, just like any retiree. They're always welcome at the department. Anytime they want to come in, they're always going to be welcome. Because sometimes people struggle with unplugging and moving forward. But he'll always be part of our team, and he knows that. But he's got a great plan moving forward. You know, you've got to look at your next steps in life. And, you know, on the way here, we were just talking about, you know, my daughter Jordan, you know, she's expecting, and that's her first, grandchild.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, salute. That's going, awesome. Going through that, all of what she's gone through with IBF and all of the time and the stress and the anxiety and to her to get to that point. Now she's 4.5 months along and had a big ultrasound yesterday, sending the pictures, and everything's looking awesome and things are looking great. So you look at those things and he's got a very strong family and that's the next thing to look forward to, and that's very admirable.
Mm-hmm. Doug, when it comes to what's next for you, without prying or anything like that, do you have something in line? Are you looking forward to it? Or I don't know. I never even think about retirement. So just now, just thinking about it, how about just nothing? Like, I like the idea of having nothing planned. That sounds great. That sounds like a first step into retirement. But do you have anything in line?
Oh, I've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Good. To Sean's point, I think it's just, you know, it's just good that you have some things lined up, that you have some thoughts on it. That's great. When it comes to some of the things else that Sean was talking about there about leaving the job and everything, there are certainly going to be parts of it, no matter how much you love any job, that are going to be nice, not having to wake up at a certain time or some of those things. But when it comes to the things you're going to miss, when it comes to the things you are most proud of, are there anything that stands out? Are there things that pop to your mind right away?
Just in the past 4 years as a mental health officer, I've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of people that have been at their lowest moments. And I know that there's at least three that we prevented a suicide. So just hanging on to that and just remembering that I had the privilege and the honor to be the person that was there to help those individuals through those situations. Those are memories that will never go away.
Yeah. And there's no topping that. That's wonderful to hear, and I appreciate you sharing that. It also adds to the parts of this that Sean, I think, was talking about, where we really want to highlight about you and your career is you've already taken on quite a bit just being an officer. Yep. You already go above and beyond in this job every day to do something like this, to welcome something like this, to seek it out and everything. It just, I brought this with Sean many times, but it pops in my head almost every time we get together with you guys. My nanny used to tease me about being, Jimmy, there are some people that just run where angels fear to tread. And there we need these individuals in our society. We need these people, the individuals like yourselves, and people like future officers out there that we're encouraging. And we have I would say that this has always been a very proud and very welcoming profession. The where we're going now with some of the things we've talked about with mental health and everything. I know just from talking, I've talked to people in like Second City, like actors and improv people who think more about this line of work now, in part because of the way society has gone with this. And it's not just, hey, tough it up. Hey, hey, it's the job. Tough it up or anything like that. Getting a little bit better about these things and being there for each other. Another thing that I touched on quite a bit that Sean mentioned earlier that's so important when we're talking about mental health, you know, when you're taking a flight on a plane, they tell you got to put your mask on first before you can put it on the other person. You're going to pass out before you even get it on them. Yep. You got to put your mask on first. Exactly. In order to be able to help others, you've got to be able to do that. And your whole job is helping others. Yep. So it's so vital for you guys to be doing these things and to be on the forefront of this, to be ahead of these things, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it again, is really impactful for our community. And again, speaks to the work that you've done, your legacy here, if you will.
Legacy, you know, and you have one that we can brag about, that we're always going to be appreciative, Doug. Yeah, I hate to see you go, but, you know, I understand big picture. You know, we have that moment in life that we move forward, and rest assured, you made a big impact on our department and the community.
Well, and I don't mean to be morbid here. I can't help myself sometimes, but we don't get to do this enough with our officers. You know, say, hey, enjoy retirement. Hey, and, you know, you made it this. You made it this far and everything. So we're very appreciative of that as well.
Thank you.
Not lost on any of us. Doug, when it comes to some of the pranks you've pulled, do you have any favorite ones? Do you have any favorite that
careful?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know about that Statue of Limitations thing. I haven't looked into that.
So back in our old building, before the new jail was going up, we always used to park our squads near our entry door. They were all lined up. And my lieutenant at the time always got there first. And he parked in the first parking stall. Well, I happened to acquire a key to his squad. So this took about 3 months of every single shift. I would move his squad three or four spaces.
Oh.
And later on, I was talking to another member of my shift, and he said, yeah, this. We were walking out the other day, and the lieutenant was clicking his key fob, and he's just, I don't know, I must be losing my mind. My car's never where I thought I left it. And it was shortly after that I finally got caught, but that was 3 months.
Did you pay for it?
Oh, man.
Maybe.
I can't believe you did that to Lieutenant Loudy.
Lieutenant Loudy. Lieutenant Sager.
Oh, okay. I'm tearing up over here. That is a great one. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I might steal that one. I might have to do that to Seth or something. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's probably why you retired.
That's good. Did you have anything else about Doug you wanted to touch on before we get to kind of some odds and ends as we're getting close to wrapping up here, Sean?
You know, I've said a lot, but, you know, I mean it with what I've mentioned about the impact you've had. And, just moving forward, and not just in my career, but the sheriff's department. You know, you look at the people that have laid groundwork to build upon a foundation, and we're lucky. You know, we are, and I think I know the community appreciates it, and really opened up an opportunity and something to move forward, especially, you know, talking about mental health.
Yeah, I'm simply a megaphone for this community many times, Doug, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for your service, and I hope you enjoy a long and fun and enjoyable retirement that you can still pull your pranks off in. You can still do it.
Thank you.
Sean, did you you had some odds and ends we wanted to touch on before we wrapped up today.
Just a couple of things to recognize. Adam Berry, Sergeant Adam Berry, Doug worked on that crew for a while. He's here with his part-time experience here 20 years already. Congrats to Adam. And then Christine Bethard, one of our canine handlers, she has Roscoe, and she's been here 15 years. So both of them started part-time with us. So like Doug did, that program that we have, it's huge.
Yeah, you know, it pays dividends.
Even with the lack of, interest in law enforcement, we've got some really good leaders, Kelvin Dohorst and Jeremy Keith, who gets out to, you know, push that program out. It seems like we're doing more backgrounds every year, but that's not something that we're going to step away from just because of the foundation that it builds. You know, our department and other agencies too. You know, just recently we hired two people, and they're both in the academy right now. And that's something that, you know, Doug can, you know, attest to, that we got to go get our experience before we can get back here. But now we're at a point where we'll sponsor people in the academy before they start with us. And Haley's Wislin was the first person we hired, and we're sponsoring her. And then Alexa Matthews, we just hired full-time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, telling her, Alexa, at Mid-State, that she's now going to be full-time, was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the 40th graduating class at Mid-State Technical College.
Wow.
In a law enforcement recruit academy. Wow. And that's, you know, you reminisce about that. Doug went there. Just how many people, you know, with Mid-State committing to that program, and a lot of it's Clark Poggle, you know, God rest his soul, having that vision and pushing it through many years ago to where we're at now. 40 classes, you know, and I was just thinking about, you know, that graduation class coming up here in May, and 40 classes of, you know, on average 25 people, do the math, and it's not the impact that Mid-State Technical College and Clark had on those officers, because they're all over the country working, but look at the impact that they had on people, on the communities they serve. So it's not just, you know, 40 times 25, it's well beyond that. And to really highlight Mid-State Technical Colleges, you know, the president there, Shelly, she's awesome. Her team there is just phenomenal. It's not just about law enforcement, but, you know, I can just, you know, comment about that because of the impact it has had on our department and the country, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at how that outreach is just, is awesome, you know, and it's just something to highlight how lucky we are to have Mid-State Technical College here in our community, and the impact that college has on our community, not just in Wisconsin Rapids, but all over.
We know how to reach you for emergencies, but if a non-emergency thing, Sean, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, follow up on some of the things we've talked about today, or just in general, how can they do that?
You know, give us a call at the Sheriff's Department, 715-421-8705 is my direct line, or 8715 is our office, or dispatches 421-8701. That's going to get you right to a dispatcher.
It was an honor talking with you today, Doug. Thanks so much for the time and everything. And again, thank you for the service to our community. You enjoy retirement, man.
I will. Thank you.
Sean, always good hanging out with you. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
And a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, doing amazing work over there. Subscribe to their page and keep up to date on that great work, everybody. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we talk to State Senator LaTanya Johnson of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and we meet new State Assembly Representative Russell Goodwin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Department of Veterans Affairs is planning a reorganization that could include 80,000 job cuts. Correspondent Michael Wallace.
The VA's chief of staff calls for a return to 2019 staffing levels before the Biden administration expanded the VA to 479,000 employees to help treat the growing number of veterans impacted by burn pits.
One of the masterminds of an attack on U.S. forces during the Afghanistan withdrawal was in a Virginia courtroom today to face charges. CBS's Scott McFarland was there.
The prosecutors laid out the charge: conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization, punishable if convicted by life in prison.
Former Houston mayor and congressman Sylvester Turner has died at the age of 70. He was in attendance last night at President Trump's address to Congress. Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
A remarkable public servant that has impacted, quite frankly, millions of people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.